All right, welcome back, everyone, and welcome to 2026. I am one of those suckers for a new year. I love the concept of New Year's goals and resolutions, and I know a lot of people don't. But for me, it prompts my brain to get in the mindset of what changes do I want to make? What do I want to do differently? And the whole idea, that's a real possibility to make real lasting change. And so I'm a sucker for it. I put my goals and everything all around me. Like I will print something out and tape it on my mirror. I'll put it in my notes to remember to think about it every day. I've even gone as far as putting specific goals on coffee mugs, having coffee mugs made with goals. So when I'm drinking my coffee in the morning, it's literally right in front of me. My kids have made fun of me about this for years. For me, it's just the intentionality of it and manifesting it and living it every day and it being in my face every day. And here's the truth. Not all my goals that I make in a certain year are actually accomplished. I'm human. I'm just like everybody else. But I do think that the more you can intentionally have that mindset and a plan of what you are trying to accomplish, the likelihood of you actually achieving that goal is going to be exponentially higher. And so, yes, so happy new year. I love a new year. I'm still going through in my mind. I give myself the month of January. So I'm going through in my mind right now what my new year's goals are for 2026. So we'll see what 2026 brings. 2025 was an exceptional year. So many amazing things happened in 2025. And I'm thankful to a lot of you for making that happen. If you would have told me a couple years ago that this is what I would be doing, I would have laughed in your face. And so you never say never. You're never too old to start something. I turned 50 this year, which was a really fun milestone for me. If any of my friends or family are listening, shout out to all of you for making me feel so special. And I just never dreamt that this is where I would be. And I mean that in the best way possible. So thank you to all of you who support West Wellness and the Peptique and all the amazing things that come with that, because I genuinely love that I get to do what I do. And I know that I say that all the time and I sound like a broken record and I don't want to get super cheesy, but it really is heartfelt when I say that. So thank you. I'm a little late in getting this out. I took a really good, decent amount of time completely off during the holidays. And I have always allowed myself to do that, even when I was in real estate before I got into this world of wellness and longevity and health optimization. I would take a big chunk of December off. And so I've kept with that tradition. And so I'm just a little behind in getting this first episode of 2026 out. And this does mark the start of the third season of the West Wellness and Longevity podcast. So if you're new here, welcome. And if you've been around for a while, welcome back. And today, when I was trying to decide what I wanted to talk about, I had a minute where I was like, I'm not really sure how I want to start out at 2026. And I had several different ideas rolling around in my head. And I settled on this one because one of my goals for 2025 was to play around, if you will, with different peptide stacks and try to figure out what works really well for me. And the truth is that what works well for me may not be the best fit for you. So keep that in mind as we're having this discussion today, that this is my experience with this particular stack. This is how it impacted me. That doesn't mean that if you run out and do the same stack today, that it's going to impact you the same way. So I want to be clear about that. What we're talking about today is the combination of AOD9604 and 5-Amino-1-MQ. And for today's purposes, I'm going to refer to them as AOD and 5-Amino, so I don't have to say the full thing throughout the entire episode, so just know that. And I actually talked about this before. So if you've listened to a lot of the episodes, you'll say, didn't you just talk about this? And I did. And I talked about AOD and 5-Amino and how they can really pair well with the GLPs. And they, in fact, do pair very well with the GLP. And this time I took a different approach to this, though. And So I'm looking at these two not as so much complementary to GLP, but what they can actually do completely on their own. So it kept me playing around with some of the dosing to figure out what worked well for me to get the results that I wanted. And it did work really well beyond how I thought it would actually work. And so that's a good thing. And I'm going to go into that dosing protocol later. So stay tuned for that. But the point that I want to make here is that oftentimes, at least in my experience, is that we might try a peptide and think, oh, I didn't really get a lot out of it. And it's really important that you become your own N of one. And I'm not suggesting you go out and do a bunch of crazy things. And a little disclaimer, this, again, is my specific experience. You have to do what you're comfortable with. Do your own research. Do your own due diligence to make sure that you are handling things in a safe way. Speak with someone that you know that is well-versed in these things. Nothing I'm talking about today is too crazy, wild out there. And trust me, I've read some stuff where I'm like, I can't believe someone took that at that level, at that high of a dose. And I'm not one of those people that does that. But just a small example on the Women's Peptide Collective, shout out to all you ladies who are listening. Particularly, it comes up a lot with something like MOTC, for example, and also comes up a lot with the GLPs because certain people do better on different doses and it's wildly different. But MOTC, for example, is one that comes up quite a bit where I can take 1 milligram to 2 milligrams of MOTC daily with no problem. A lot of people, that makes them tired. And so they have to go down to 500 mcgs or half of a milligram. And then they start really feeling the benefit of it. They go above that, it's going to make them feel tired. And then there are some people that might take 5 milligrams in one day. I'm not a big proponent of that, but I've heard of it. And I've heard people say that really works well for them. A lot of this stuff is anecdotal. And we don't have a lot of research on the sweet spot. So I'm always going to tell you what my experience is and what works for me. But you really have to go out there and do your own research on these things. And so if you're one of these people that in 2026 and you're just getting started with peptides, this is a great one to listen to and some great takeaways as far as, you know, how these peptides work. Because, and you've heard me say this before, sometimes you will take one and you're like, I didn't get much out of it. And then you may try it again and switch up the dosing a little bit and say, oh, wow, that really worked for me. That's happened to me numerous times. It happened to me with MOTC. It's happened to me with NAD. It took me a couple of times with both those peptides to really dial in what worked for me. And I wasn't super impressed with either one of those when I first started taking them. But then round two or three, after playing around with it a little bit and figuring out what worked for me, they're two of my favorites. And so just know that as we dive into this. So let's get started. I'm not going to do a deep dive into what either one of these are, but I'm going to give you a general idea so you know what I'm talking about. My goal for this was to work on my midsection because everything that I was reading about the science behind it and everything that I was reading anecdotally, other people's responses to these particular peptides. Well, AOD is a peptide. 5-amino-1 is actually a small molecule compound. But regardless, I had just noticed, even though the scale wasn't moving a whole lot, so it wasn't like I put on weight, that I was just, my midsection was not where I wanted it. When I've taken this before, I have leaned out a little bit in my midsection, but I wanted to see how far I can push it and if these two combined on their own could really make a big difference for me. And so I've also gotten a lot of questions on this because some people have known that I've been doing this particular stack and wanted information on what my results are. So here we are. Okay, so let's dive in. What is AOD9604? AOD is actually a modified fragment of human growth hormone, specifically the part responsible for fat metabolism. So the beautiful thing about AOD is that it does this without triggering growth hormone effects or blood sugar or things like IGF-1. And this is really important for some people that maybe already have high IGF-1, or maybe you've been taking one of the growth hormone peptides, the testosterone, epinephrine, CJC, and you want to cycle off. AOD9604 would be a really good one to use in that time that you're cycling off. I'm not suggesting it does the same thing, But it's just another layer that you can add in as you're cycling through things, particularly when you're off a growth hormone peptide. The research suggests that it can stimulate lipolysis, which is just a fancy way of saying fat breakdown. It can inhibit lipogenesis, which is a fancy way of saying fat storage. So it can inhibit new fat storage from happening. And it can target stubborn adipose tissue, especially visceral and abdominal fat. So you can see why I wanted to use this one. And it does this without muscle loss. And this is important because AOD doesn't force fat loss. It nudges fat cells to become more willing to release stored energy. So think of it like unlocking the door, not dragging fat out and kicking and screaming. And I want to make this point because neither one of these are going to be like the magic answer. You're going to take them all of a sudden, all this fat's going to be gone, okay? You have to be mindful of other things, your overall environment, working out, nutrition, that sort of thing. This is going to give the body the ability to do that if you are also doing all the other things you're supposed to be doing, okay? That's AOD 5-amino-1-MQ. It works NMMT inhibitor. And I'm not even going to try to sound out what that actually stands for because it's a mouthful. But this NMMT is an enzyme, and it's often added in obesity and especially active in abdominal fat. So you can see if it inhibits that, how this small molecule, this 5-amino-1, actually could be super helpful in this situation and why it would actually pair really well with something like AOD. Because we know that NMMT activity, when it's high, fat cells are more likely to store that energy, so to hold on to that fat. Mitochondrial efficiency goes down, so you start getting kind of sluggish energy, and metabolic flexibility decreases. So 5-amino-1 has been studied for its ability to reduce fat cell formation, improve metabolic efficiency, and support NAD-related pathways. And it also is shown to help make adipose tissue more metabolically responsive. So while AOD9604 helps break down the fat, the 5-amino-1 helps the body's tendency to store it, especially in the midsection. So combining these two together is where the magic is. So the two compounds work on different layers of the same problem. So AOD acts directly on fat cells, encourages lipolysis, and targets stubborn fat deposits, where 5-amino-1 works upstream on enzyme signaling, reducing adipogenesis, and improves metabolic efficiency. So together, one reduces storage signals and the other increases release signals. Beautiful thing. This is why people often notice that waist reduction, less puffiness, clothes fitting looser, better body composition before they see any big changes on the scale. So this brings me into my personal experience with this, because after really doing a deep dive on this, started to really click with me. And what I did notice is that my waist got considerably smaller. And I actually did a measurement, because this was, again, I'm going to be my own N of one here, my own experiment. And I did a measurement and I lost a full inch around my waist. And I did not change anything else. I did not change my diet. This is during the holidays and I was doing this. I did not change my exercise routine. I wasn't doing like extra core work or anything like that. I do core work all the time. But I wasn't doing anything different. I didn't go on any kind of extreme diet. My nutrition was in check. I was doing all the right things as far as eating the amount of protein, staying away from processed foods, and getting my strength training workouts 3 times a week, along with a couple of cardio days or just days where I did long walks. But my point is, nothing extreme was going on. The only thing that I was doing differently is that I layered in these two peptides. And whereas before, one peptide, one small molecule, before when I had used these, I definitely felt less bloating, thinner, leaner in the midsection, nothing like this time. And that's because of the dosing. And so I'm going to go into that here in a minute. But the cool thing is, and you may not think this is cool, but I did, is that the scale didn't move because this suggests that I had fat loss without muscle loss, okay? I had less inflammation and water retention and improved body composition, not just weight loss. These are really the kind of changes that we really want, especially in people that are already pretty optimized. And it often gets lost because we get so focused, especially us ladies that grew up in the 80s and the 90s, we get so focused on what that scale says that we're not looking at the bigger picture of what our body composition is. And that's really what we should be focusing on. Now, one thing I didn't do is I didn't do like a DEXA scan before and after. So I can't say I lost this amount of percentage of body fat in this particular area. But I think the tape measure is a pretty good indication of that. I'm not a large person. And to lose an entire inch on my waist, I thought was pretty huge. I want to dive a little into this. I kind of want to get this ingrained in your head. What the scale doesn't tell you, because it doesn't tell you, again, where the fat is coming from, whether muscle is preserved, whether inflammation is reduced, whether visceral fat is shrinking. And a shrinking waist and a stable scale often means better nutrient partitioning, improved insulin sensitivity, and reduced central adiposity. And this is metabolic fat loss, not some big extreme diet or exercise regimen, okay? This is why I ended up at the end of this really loving this combination so much. So who is a good candidate for this? If you take anything away from today's episode, I want you to take this away, that if you do not have your nutrition in check and you do not have your workouts going, and maybe you don't have all of these things going perfectly right now, but if you're not on that trend and on that track, there isn't a peptide in the world that is going to long-term benefit you. And what I don't want you doing is going out and wasting your money and having all these high hopes on this particular combination of this peptide and small molecule and not seeing the results that you want. Because it's really important that those things are in check, particularly when you're talking about this type of combo. So if you are someone that has those things in check and you have maybe some stubborn belly fat, or which I normally see with perimenopausal or stress weight gain or things like that, if you have inflammation-driven fat, if you're one of these people that otherwise is very optimized, but you just got this stubborn area that you can't seem, no matter what you do to get rid of, this might be a good combination to try. If you got a lot of weight to lose, this is not going to be a good fit for you. This would be one where I'd say, get everything else in check and then try this afterwards. And if you're one of these people that's really optimized and you're not on a GLP and you have some stubborn fat to lose, this might be a good one to try as well. It's not great for, again, are those people that are just maybe starting out on this health and wellness journey and you have a lot of weight to lose. I would hold off on this one for a while. If you're underweight or you're already super lean, I don't know there would really be a point in doing this. 5-Amino-1 can give you a great energy boost. So if you've got some mitochondrial stuff going on, I'd love 5-Amino-1 for that. But I don't know that you would get the benefit out of adding the AOD. So either extreme here is not probably a good candidate for this particular stack, in my opinion. Okay, so what does everybody want to know? They want to know, what was your dosing, Tara? And again, I know, broken record, this is what worked for me. If you look at my peptide guide, for example, all of those protocols are steeped with a lot of research, anecdotal, a lot of it's anecdotal, or research that's been extracted from animal models, things like that. So I'm a big believer in starting very low and slow on these things because you don't know how your body is going to respond. So all of those protocols, most of them are a really good starting dose on the lower end. A lot of those work well for most people. That's why I put those that particular dosing in my guide. With this particular protocol, what it states in my peptide guide, for example, is that AOD, you want to take 300 mcgs daily. And what it says for 5-Amino-1 is you want to take 500 mcgs daily. And that's what I did the time before. And I did get some very minimal, decent results I love the energy the 5-Amino-1 gave me. And I did feel like I got maybe lost a little inflammation and stuff in my midsection. For this protocol, I started there to make sure my body could adjust. And then I slowly titrated up. And I went 10 weeks on this because I was in the middle of the holidays and I wanted to get through that. But by week 4, I was up to 600 mcgs of the AOD and 1 mg of the 5-Amino-1 MQ. I actually upped that a little at the very end to 1.5 milligrams. You could do that too. And I did up the last week or two on the AOD up to 800 mcgs. So again, I really played around with this, but it was definitely the higher dose. So I basically doubled it from what's in the peptide guide that really got me on my way to getting that really great waist reduction. Now, side effects, the main side effects, these are both have really great safety profiles. I did notice a slight headache on the higher doses. They didn't last the entire time. And some days I would get them and some days I wouldn't. I would usually just take like one singular ibuprofen and it would knock it out. It wasn't like some horrible migraine or debilitating headache. I was just kind of this nagging, kind of dull headache that I did experience. So no, that's pretty common. You might experience that. Otherwise, I personally did not have any side effects. And there aren't really a lot of well-known side effects for these things. One of the things I will caution you that if you do your own research on this, 5-Amino-1 is much more well-known for the oral version, not the injectable version. I did the injectable version. So when you're looking at dosing protocols, if you start doing some research, you're going to see some really high, like 50 milligrams, 100 milligrams, that sort of thing. That's typically for the oral dose. Now, I have heard of some people discussing those, that type of level of dosing in the injectable form for the 5-Amino. I could never in a clear conscience tell you to do that. I think that's crazy and not affordable or sustainable at all because it usually comes in a 10 milligram vial. That being said, so I just wanted to throw that out there because I do get a lot of questions that the injectable 5-Amino-1 is just now gaining some popularity. And so there's not a lot of information out there regarding the dosing protocol for that one. And so people get confused. And so I get a lot of questions about that. Overall, if you're interested in it, try it. Like I said, it worked for me. Play around with the dosing. See what works for you. Don't go to any extremes. Take this with a grain of salt. But do your own research. I think if you look at the science behind both of these, you can see why synergistically they work really well together. That was a quick and easy one, sums up this episode topic. And before I let everyone go, just a couple of reminders. We are living in a day and age where this research peptide world is very volatile. And I feel like 2026 is going to be a bumpy road for us out there with just certain three-letter named regulatory government entities that are working hard to put tighter restrictions on us. That being said, I encourage you to sign up for the email list. I normally send it if there's something big that I need to announce, like some sort of restriction or something like that. But really, the main thing I use it for is to send you updates on new products for the Peptique or sales and things like that we have going on. It's less than once a week, and sometimes it's not even once a month. But I'm trying to accumulate emails on that list. So if stuff does come down where I get more censored because I've already had TikTok and one Instagram account removed and all that stuff, I can get in touch with you. That's the main reason why I have this list. And so if you go to the show notes, you can sign up for the email. There's a link on there to just click on it, put your email in, and you move on with the rest of your day. If you want to join the Women's Peptide Collective, that is a group where I am not censored and can talk about peptides as much as I want. And you can too. It's a group of ladies. We have over 1,000 members now. It's totally free. And we go and we talk about all things peptide related, health optimization related, a lot of talk about hormones, et cetera. If you're interested in that, there's a link in the show notes there as well. And you can get on there and ask to join. And follow me on Instagram and TikTok at WestWellnessATX. That's the handle for both of those. I'm continually getting censored on Instagram and TikTok. And so the more followers I can get, the better. I would love for you to follow me there. I am trying to ramp up more content. since it seems like they're releasing some of the heavy hand they've had on me as far as taking down posts and stuff. So that's coming up the pipeline as well, or coming down the pipeline. Lots and lots of new exciting products coming out this year that I can't wait to share with you. So more to come on that. And I think that's it, y'all. So like I always say, until next time, have a blessed day.